Open your Bibles tonight to the Gospel of Luke chapter 5. Just find the place and I'll get there eventually. Now, this is last week. Yeah, how many of you remember last week? It seems like a month ago. Last week, we had three young men preach the gospel. That brought back a lot of memories for me because I started where they were, where they're at now. I was 16 years old from a broken home. Never knew my dad, never, he wasn't in my life at all. But God in his mercy let me hear the gospel. I've been saved over 60 years now. Amen. 16 years old, I surrendered to be a preacher of the gospel, and I heard those young men preach. By the way, they did a great job. Amen. And then this morning, listening to Dr. Goetsch preach, listening to Dr. Goetsch preach about the cross, if that doesn't stir your heart, I don't know if it can be stirred. And then, of course, next week, we get to listen to Pastor preach about resurrection. And that's going to be wonderful as well. You know, when I heard that this morning, it makes me think this way. Aren't we amazed that God wants us? Aren't we amazed that God loves us? Aren't we amazed that God wants to use us? And that's what I want to speak about tonight. By the way, if you're here and you're not saved, he wants to save you today. Amen. I want to speak just briefly tonight about passing the test. Now, some of my students are in this auditorium, so they wonder what I'm going to say because I guess most of them passed my test. But this is midterm exam week this past week. But in Luke chapter 5, we're going to get there in just a moment, verse 1, but when you read Luke chapter 4, Jesus had just returned from being tempted 40 days and 40 nights by the devil. And he's traveled to Galilee and ended up in Nazareth and in the synagogue. And he sits, he's there, and he found the place in the Word of God. And he said this to those people, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bound, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." In the rest of that chapter, the people heard him say that were astonished to see that he had the power to back up everything he just said. Because you see in chapter 4, his power over demons. The demons knew who Christ was, even when sometimes people did not. Power over disease. So the people wanted to hear him. So that brings us to chapter 5 in my story tonight. Luke chapter 5 and verse 1, "And it came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draw. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had thus done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John's, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Well, Jesus had power over the demons, power over disease, power over death. And these people wanted to hear him. So it tells us here in verse number 1 of chapter 5, they pressed upon him. Pastor, I know you've tried this, but have you ever tried to preach to a group of people when they're right here in front of you? That's one of the hardest things to do when there are hundreds and maybe sometimes thousands of people. One year, Dr. Sis went with me out in the jungle in the Congo and almost got him killed on that trip, but I can't tell that story tonight. Ask me about it sometime. But we got to our village where Linda and I live, and we were supposed to be there Sunday, and we didn't even make it by Sunday. People had come by the thousands, and they'd gone home because we didn't show up. And Monday we arrived, and no one was there except our village people. And they sent runners, literally men running out to every village and town around us. And by that afternoon, there were so many people we could not get into the church. There were 5,000 or 6,000 people outside under a tree. And so I don't know if you've ever tried to preach when people are just right in your face, but it's not an easy thing to do. And here they were pressing upon him. When Linda and I first went to Senegal, now that was a long time ago, I had a head full of curly hair. She was much younger as well. I talked about those three young guys preaching last week. So you went from three young guys to the old man tonight. Because I'm older than Pastor, and I'm older than Dr. R, and I'm older than Jerry Furso, and I'm older than Dr. Getch. We first went to the mission field. I remember one time, every time we heard the tom-toms beating, we wanted to go see what was going on. It was either a wedding or a funeral or some kind of an activity. And I went one time, and it was getting toward the evening, and it was my first time at an African wrestling match. And they have this one little rope around an area, and it's got Greco-Roman wrestling, so the first person hits the ground is lost. But I got there early, so I'm standing at this rope, and I wasn't paying attention, and I'm standing there, and people kept coming all around and getting, they were just stacking up behind me. Well, finally the match started, and I'm standing there at the rope, one rope, I'm digging in with both feet and fighting my dead level best not to end up in the ring with the fighters. So I know what it means to be pressed. So Jesus stepped onto a boat and he preached to the crowd. But his message really was not to the crowd that day so much as it was to one man. Yep. Have you ever been in church when the pastor was preaching, or Dr. Getch preaching this morning, and it's just like the pastor knows everything about you, and he's preaching just to you. But it's not that the pastor knows everything about you, it's that the Holy Spirit of God knows everything about you, and he's wanting to help you. And Christ took time to help people personally. Amen. Because you see, his purpose was not just to save their souls, but his purpose was to transform them so that they could go out and help other people also. Sounds a lot like what we try to do around here, doesn't it? Well, at this setting here on the Lake of Gennesaret, the Sea of Galilee, Luke called it a lake, a beautiful place, populated. They tell us there were about 15,000 people at that time that lived around it. And the message Christ gave that day was primarily to one man, the man Simon Peter. It was not the first time they had met. The first time's in John's gospel in chapter 1 when Peter was standing there, or came later, but John the Baptist was baptizing and preaching, and Jesus showed up, and here's what John the Baptist said. And I'll have to interpret for myself too. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And that day, Peter heard the message that we want everybody to hear. Jesus is the Lamb of God. And boy, did we hear that this morning. And he trusted Christ, he was saved. And that was the beginning of that marvelous journey. And I think many of you would say with me tonight, it is a marvelous journey. I go back to those days when I surrendered to preach, I knew nothing about it. But I went to my pastor and said, Pastor, God's called me to preach. I'd like to preach. And he said, well, we're having a cottage prayer meeting, getting ready for revival. Would you? I think back on that and thought, I don't know if my pastor was smart or not to let me preach. But I haven't quit since. And Peter met Jesus. But then later on in Matthew chapter 4, a different time, Peter and James and John and some other fishermen were there. And you remember that story when Jesus came by and saw them and he said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." And there we see the call of a life of full-time discipleship, soul winning. Follow me. Look, if you're following Christ, you will try to win people to Christ. Amen. You become a fisher of men. And when you go fishing, I don't think anybody goes fishing with the idea of not catching anything. I mean, we're trying to win somebody to Christ. But here the third time, Jesus wanted something else of Peter. Peter heard the message, "Behold the Lamb of God." Peter heard the message, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." But Jesus came to Peter while he was engaged in his ordinary walk of life, his ordinary work of life. And he said in so many words, "Peter, I want something else of you. I want you to serve me in a special way." When I think about that, I realize that's exactly what happened in my life. I didn't know everything about Christ the day I got saved. There were many things I didn't know. I knew this. I knew I was a sinner and I knew he died on the cross and that was all I needed to save my soul. But I didn't know a lot. I was a big reader and I grew up, Linda and I grew up in those days kind of under Dr. Harold Seitler and Oliver B. Green and Dr. Robertson was our pastor for 4 years, and we loved every moment of that. We ran a bus route at Highland Park. But I think about that when I got saved, but then before we got married, both of us had made a decision, "Lord, we want to follow you with our lives." And we just set out to do it, and we have never regretted that decision. We reared 5 children on the mission field. And we tell folk our kids had more fun than a barrel of monkeys because we ate them where we lived. But anyway, we just set out, we surrendered our lives, but we still didn't know exactly what God had for us. But at a point in time in 1970, read a little article in a Baptist newspaper, and God put a burden on our hearts to go to Africa to reach Muslim. We don't regret that decision either. There's still people saved, still people, churches going. We still get news from that part of the world where we went 45 plus years ago. Well, let me hurry on because I want to give you a test tonight. How many of you like tests? Now be honest, most of you don't. And tests, let me just say this to you students. It's a lot easier to take the test than it is to prepare it and grade it. But I want to give you 5 quick test questions tonight that Jesus gave to Peter. And then we'll ask the question, have we passed the test? Here was the first question on the test. "Peter, will you give me your boat?" "My boat, Lord?" "That's my livelihood. I'm a fisherman." There were many other boats there. This was not a command. Christ didn't say to Peter, "Peter, I've got to have your..." No. "Peter, will you give me your boat?" I wonder if it's true that God cannot use many of us in his service because we have become slaves to stuff. Hoarders. We have so much stuff. How many of you, don't raise your hand. You can't get your car in your garage because it is full of stuff. And then you have 2 storage buildings some other place. Are we tied to things? Whatever it be, a house, a job, or family, habits, hobbies, not that any of those things are bad in themselves. And I think God is saying to Peter here, is there anything in your life that would keep you from following me? First test on the question. first question on the test. Even the teacher doesn't always get it right. Peter, would you give me your boat? Now, it may not be a boat for you, it may be something else. But I mentioned when the pastor's preaching and it's like he knows exactly, that's because the Holy Spirit's working in our hearts. Peter, would you give me your boat? Second question on the test. Peter, will you give me your time? Peter, I want your boat, but here's what I really want. I want you with the boat. Now, Peter, just think about this. All night long, he and his fellow workers had been laboring and trying to catch fish, and they hadn't caught anything. Tired, frustrated. And Christ is saying to Peter, Peter, is your time my time? Because it's so easy for us to say, well, Lord, I'm too busy. You know my schedule. I couldn't serve you. I don't have time to go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. If you went to Highland Park Baptist Church back in the day, you heard that over and over and over again. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and everything else that was going on. People say, no time for services, I'm too busy. Ministry, all day, all the time. And Christ said, Peter, I want your boat, but Lord, but more than that, I want you, I want your time. Can we answer that question in the right way? Now, question number three. Have you ever noticed that the questions kind of get a little more difficult each time? Peter, can I have your boat? Can I have your time? Then he said, Peter, will you yield to me your will? See, Peter had already been out there all night, tired and hungry. What in the world does a carpenter know about fishing? Again, no command. It wasn't a hard command from Christ. Peter, here's what I want you to do. And Peter must have been thinking, Lord, we've been working all night. Somebody else can do this. More than that, it's the wrong time. You don't catch fish in the daytime in this lake. Jesus said to Peter, would you be willing to change your plans for me? Now, I don't know what God's doing in your life, but I know this, God is at work in all of our lives. And he wants us to surrender our will to him. Would you change your plans to me? Why do you think Peter didn't catch any fish all that night? Well, because the Lord of Lords and King of Kings had told the fish to go on vacation. And Christ made a request and he made a promise. Let down your nets. And Peter didn't like that suggestion. He contradicted Jesus, but he went part way. He let down a net. Let me give the answer to this question this way. Put all of your nets into the water of the will of God and watch God work. Amen. Lord, we can't do it. We've been fishing. Well, if you're with Christ, you don't have to do it. He is the Lord of Lords. And Peter yielded his will. But then the next question on the test is this, and it gets harder still. Peter, will you yield to me your pride? Do we have a problem with that or not? Because as soon as those nets hit the water and they were full of fish, Peter fell at Christ's feet. And a man is never as tall as when he kneels before his Maker, an act of deepest humility coupled with worship. Now let me tell you what I think is happening here. The moment Peter realized what was happening, See, he already knew Jesus as Savior. He really already knew Jesus as Master. He had already followed him. But I think what happened this day in that ship, when those nets hit the water, they had fished all night and they caught nothing. And when Jesus said, do it, the nets were full. Jesus realized like he never had in all of his life who he was dealing with. This man is not only the Savior, he is that for sure. This man is not only the Master, he is that for sure. But this man is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and he deserves everything that we have, and he deserves for us to get over our pride. And then one last test, question on my test. Peter's life had been changed in a moment. He said, Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. Here's the last question. Peter, will you give me your love? Don't you like that last verse? And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. See, they caught a lot of fish. You know what those fish served for? They took care of their families for a long time to come. Did you notice that after this point, Peter didn't say, Lord, where are we going to go now? He no longer cared about the boat. He no longer cared about his job. He no longer cared about his retirement. He said, Lord, I've had enough. I understand who you are. I'll do anything you want me to do. Now, I want you to think as I conclude tonight, what if Peter had failed his test? What if Peter just said, Lord, I'm too tired. I'm not going to do that. Peter would have never been an apostle. We would not have the books of 1st and 2nd Peter in this holy word of God. We would not have most of the first 12 chapters in the book of Acts if Peter had failed his test. What of William Carey and Adnan Judson and Jim Elliott? Let's get closer to home. What if Rick Martin and Bruce Rice, and I could keep going down the list, what if they had failed their test? 1967, teenage boy, I was the runt in my class. That means I was a small little guy. Everybody picked on me. I weighed 120 pounds when I went to Marines. But in 1967, I made the decision to do what I'm telling you about tonight. I was already saved. I had already surrendered to follow the Lord. But I came to that place in my life when I realized that everything I have belongs to Him. My plans, my future, my family, my safety, my billfold, everything it's His. In one second of time, it changed my life. Think about what I lost. You know what I lost when I decided to follow Christ? Not a thing in this world.
That's right.
I mean, amen. I didn't lose. Oh, I lost a few friends, but they certainly weren't good friends anyway. What did I lose? Nothing. Let me tell you what I gained.
Amen.
I gained a peace and a joy and a hope and a future that no one can explain apart from Christ. In verse 11, I've already read it. It says this, having left the boats and the fish and their work and their families and their home, but they gain Christ. You know what I want for you? If you're not saved, I want you to trust Christ. But if you're a believer, here's what I would love for every one of us, starting with me, to say, Lord, I want to pass my test. I want to realize completely who you are. Lord, here's my boat. You can have it. Lord, my time's your time. You just tell me what you want me to do, and I'm going to do my best to do it. Folk, there's greater joy in that. You gain more in surrendering to Christ than you You know, I gained things in Christ I didn't even know I didn't have that I was missing.